Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Oz.
The relationship between the eye and the kidney is seldomly explored. And we're so fortunate to have a preeminent nephrologist with us today to sort of share his insights both into this relationship and to how renal disease has been dramatically changed. Dr. Ted Sod, who's the chief of section of renal and hypertensive disease at Christiana Care Health Systems in Delaware, developed a program of interventional nephrology. He's a past president and fellow of the American Society of Diagnostic and Interventional Nephrology, all of which goes to say he has helped save lives by creating programs in dialysis and insights into renal and urinary diseases. Ted, thanks for being with us today, and I hope you can share a couple of these insights with our listeners.
You're welcome, Rob. Thank you very much for having me. I'm delighted. You know, this remarkable connection between the eyes and the kidneys, because the eyes are literally a window into the vasculature, and much of what develops as kidney disease, it develops at the level of the small blood vessels, which can be seen in the eyes and which tell us indirectly what's often going on in the kidneys. So ophthalmologists, optometrists, other experts in eye disease are very good at helping predict what might happen to the kidneys, and just as nephrologists who pick up on kidney disease might be able to predict what's going to happen in the eyes. There's a very strong linkage between those two organs.
Did you find that most people can rapidly recognize, let's say, urinary tract infections versus kidney disease? Is there a gap between that recognition of where the infection might be?
Oh, it's a tremendous gap there. I think a lot of times what truly turns out to be kidney disease masquerades as an infection. Somebody thinks, oh, this is just a little urinary tract infection, and they see a little bit of blood or a little bit of protein on a urine test and treat it as an infection, may not recognize the fact that it does indicate significant underlying kidney disease, at least at the first pass. Eventually, it almost always becomes evident, sometimes sooner and sometimes later, but you never want to just assume that what appears to be a urinary tract infection is just that. Most times it will be. There are plenty of young, healthy people who get a urinary tract infection. It doesn't mean anything, but you certainly don't want to neglect that, especially in people who have other risk factors like diabetes.
Well, I think people probably don't even realize not only does the kidney filter out and reabsorb items and excrete things that are not necessary, but like the liver, everything you eat and drink has to exit, usually through the liver or the kidney, and very little in the sweat. So the kidney is always there filtering, I guess, your entire blood system. Isn't that correct?
The kidney is a very efficient and busy filter, working 24/7, obviously, in a normal person to both filter out things in the blood that you want to eliminate, and also it has numerous metabolic functions. It's not just sitting there idly. It has to do with calcium and phosphorus and vitamin D and anemia, many other endocrine functions linking various body systems, and hypertension control and regulation of vascular tone. It's a very complicated organ that is involved in very many different medical systems, which actually is part of the reason that it's interesting as a field to be in, because it's not really just treating a simple filter. It's getting involved in many aspects of multi-organ processes and diseases.
Does a urinary, let's say a urinary analysis, does that tell us, is that a good initial indicator of the health of the kidney?
Properly done, it certainly is. I mean, a urinalysis that shows no detectable protein and no blood and no abnormal cells is a pretty good quick health checkup for the kidney. If you don't have any of those abnormal findings in the urinalysis, it's a good start for kidney health. There are certain kidney diseases where you might find no abnormalities in the urine, such as hypertensive kidney disease, where oftentimes you won't see protein or blood or any other abnormalities. And those you need to be looking for in other ways. But as a first pass, it's an excellent means of screening for kidney disease. And there are different levels of detection for protein. Some crude tests don't detect protein, and so for diabetes in particular, more sophisticated assays that measure what's called microalbumin, that is very small amounts of protein, are commonly used as an earlier screening test. But with those methods, one can be pretty confident that they've identified those people at risk for kidney disease, especially with diabetes. Diabetes being one of the major contributing causes to kidney disease, that and hypertension are the two leading causes of kidney disease by far.
Well, that sort of leads us to one of your specialties, which you sort of call the modern medical miracle, and that is dialysis and what that has done in terms of enhancing and preserving both the quality and longevity of life of people with chronic renal failure. And
yeah,
you've been responsible for a lot of this.
Well, it's one of the reasons that I and many of my colleagues went into nephrology, because it really is a miraculous thing to be able to provide a safe and effective, reliable replacement for failure of a major organ system and allow people to live, not just hang on, but to live a very good quality of life for a fairly long period of time, perhaps most limited by other diseases that they might have, not actually kidney disease. That is, if we see a patient whose kidneys fail and they need dialysis treatment, they can live for quite a while with a good quality of life on dialysis, but unfortunately many of those people also have heart disease and strokes and other complicated medical illnesses from which they may unfortunately succumb other than from kidney failure. But it's really a miracle that we can do that. You cannot offer the same type of therapy for failure of any other major organ, whether it's the heart or the lungs or the GI tract or the eyes. And when those organs fail, there's really no good effective therapy for that, short of heart transplant or liver transplant, various other more aggressive and less reliable treatments. Whereas with kidney failure, one can tomorrow hook somebody up to dialysis and they can go about their business and live as a dialysis patient. And nobody chooses to do that. It's prefer to have your own kidneys, or you prefer to get a very good functioning transplant and have hopefully a better quality and longevity as well of life. But dialysis is a very good stepping stone, or for the people who can't get a transplant, a very good permanent way of living.
When you think about the fact that we used to have peritoneal dialysis or a kidney transplant, you look at this as a intermediary item that obviously is a life extension. I mean, it's amazing, and I know that you helped start a vascular access society. And because once you got the connection and you keep it clean and you keep it monitored and you have a whole specialty that observes people and saves their lives, I think this is incredible.
That has arguably been one of the big advancements in dialysis care, both for hemodialysis and for peritoneal dialysis, which I'm glad you mentioned, because that's a very important and extremely popular and effective form of renal replacement therapy, as we refer to it. But whether you're on peritoneal dialysis or whether you're on hemodialysis, we need some conduit to the bloodstream to provide treatments. And in hemodialysis, it's what we call fistulas or grafts, in some cases venous catheters. And those require regular attention and maintenance in order to function, and that's what we call them, the lifeline of the patient. Without those devices, the patient can't receive the dialysis treatment, so it's integral to providing the care.
Well, we have one other connection in the future, which is hypochlorous acid, which is used to clean off bacteria on the lids, but it also may be able to sterilize catheters. Well, I certainly wish we had more time, Ted, because you have tons of information to give us, and people have no idea the value of their kidneys. I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes, on theradiomd.com. The more information for this segment or any of my segments, please visit my show page at radiomd.com. Thank you for listening. Stay well, and get a urinalysis with your next updated medical checkup.